Perfect Podcast. Welcome to the Almost Perfect Podcast, a celebration of getting VIP tickets to Trevor Noah. That's where we're at, people. That's the kind of clout we still got. Still got it. I know a lot of people got free tickets to the Trevor show here in Durban, but you weren't sitting fourth row, were you? Nah, you're not on that level. You're not a baller. You're not a shot caller like old Bobby P right here, baby. What? Why? Why, Bob? Why? I don't fucking know, man. It's Friday morning. I don't even know how the fuck I'm feeling at the moment these days. Like, I've been reading and listening to, like, a lot of Guy Debord. And, you know, that dude ended up killing himself because of his fucking analysis of the world. And I'm not there. Don't worry, I'm not there. But, yeah, I'm just gonna be all over the fucking show today. Let's just put it that way. And although I wasn't planning on it, maybe we can somehow marry the society of the spectacle and Trevor Noah together by the end of this podcast. I'm not promising anything, though. But we'll see. For now, though, let's start at the beginning. Let's greet. You must greet, Bob. You must greet. If you live in KZN, you have been told you must greet if you've ever tried to speak to a Zulu man without saying hello first. So, hello. How are you? How's this postmodern capitalistic neoliberal hellscape treating you? Is it treating you well? Are you fed? Are you clothed? Are you housed? Do you have desires that are all your own that are being met? Or are you getting caught in the trap and finding yourself wanting things that you don't really fucking want? Because, I don't know, I've been thinking a lot about that shit lately. And with that said, I'm about to try to sell you some shit. So, to support this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/almostperfect. Where you can support it for as little as $1 a month. There are three different tiers. There's a $1 tier, there's a $5 tier, and there's the $10 tier. You can go check it out for yourself. I'm not going to try sell you on it too much. You know the link, patreon.com/almostperfect. Alternatively, you can buy shit. Like, I have products that you can buy. And when you buy those products, I make a little bit of profit. And some of that profit goes into keeping the podcast alive. And some of it goes towards getting more merch made. So, you know, it's a capitalistic cycle we got going on here. But what am I meant to fucking do? I live under capitalism. I need to sell things to be able to live and eat and be clothed and fed. And maybe even indulge in some desires that were, you know, implanted in me by other people's advertising. So if you want to contribute to that, almostperfect.co.z is where you can go to buy yourself a sweater, a t-shirt, or a mug. Also going to be having little mini grinders, like weed grinders. Yeah, we're going to have some of that. Going to have some ashtrays. Going to have little joint holder things. I mean, this is all in the pipeline at the moment. Like, I can't give you an ETA. But yeah, I figure, fuck it. Like, sell the shit that you would buy, essentially, is my philosophy with all of this. And yeah, I feel like more people should sell smoking things as their merch, like, just as a fucking stoner. Like, yeah, that's the kind of shit I want to buy. So that's the kind of shit I'm gonna be selling, and I'll let you know how that goes as it goes along. Other than that, the other thing I need to tell you is that tomorrow night I'm going to be hosting On The Nose Comedy at Stump Nose. Felicia Pille is your headline act. And then we've got Carmony, we've got Tibbs, we've got Vinny, we've got Liam. And one or two surprise acts are going to come through as well. So R60 pre-sale. You can get tickets on the Not Quite Right website. It's notquiterightcomedy.co.z. Just go to upcoming shows, click the buy tickets button, and you can get your pre-sale tickets for R60. Alternatively, it is R80 at the door. Okay, cool. So that's the promo out the fucking way. Let's chat a bit. Let's talk a little bit about Trevor Noah and see if there's anything that relates to, like, you know, some of the other stuff I've been engaging with lately this week. Because not just Guy Debord, but, like, also, like, Marshall McLuhan. And, like, I'm always fascinated by media, by signs, signifiers, identity, fucking all that shit, you know, just how the world is controlled basically through images, and how we're controlled and how we control ourselves and all these different things. Okay, all these different things have been rattling around in my brain more so lately than normal. Like, don't worry, these are things that are always kind of in the back of my mind, and I've engaged with like Marshall McLuhan like a ton in my life, and Guy Debord less, but lately I've been, yeah, fucking with him pretty hard. It's kind of wild how a bunch of dead dudes actually, in the analysis of the media of their time, you know, which was mostly just TV and film and radio and newspapers and stuff like that, called it, like, when it comes to modern life and when it comes to social media and just branding and just, yeah, so much of it. But as Taz, who is a commentator for AEW, likes to say, I digress. So let's tell you the story of Trevor Noah on Sunday night, who I met for the second time, although the first time was actually at the Playhouse back when Dusty Rich opened for him and managed to hook me up with some tickets. These were balcony seats at the Playhouse. These were not, you know, fourth row VIP at the ICC. But somehow, like, that experience was more meaningful and enjoyable, and like, it's just, it's interesting to compare the two. So basically, after that show at the Playhouse years ago, like, we all went backstage, like, Dusty, you know, called a couple of us comedians, and we hung out with Trevor, and I can't remember who else, but yeah, Dusty Rich, I think Paul Cowan was there, handful of other comedians, and we were all just sitting backstage, just talking, just shooting the shit, and it was a really interesting experience, because at that time, you know, Trevor Noah was blowing the fuck up, and I think this was just before he got the Daily Show. And yeah, like, I'm not necessarily a Trevor Noah fan, like, in terms of he's a really good comedian, he's really, really good on stage, he's an amazing performer, fucking knows how to do, like, you know, a million different accents, he's on point with that shit. And he does a lot of material that I guess is just like where you go, it is like that, isn't it? But that's not necessarily the kind of material that I dig. You know, like, I like jokes. I like, yeah, incongruency. I like people telling me about themselves. I like people who challenge the status quo, you know, who try and push boundaries and just shit like that, you know? And I don't necessarily see that in Trevor's work, for myself at least. I feel like he's a very relatable comedian, and you know, those are the comedians that aren't necessarily for me. Like, if everyone in the world likes something, the chances of me liking it are just less, you know. Like, I am a hipster in that way, but it's also just my genuine tastes, you know, and we've all got different tastes in that. But so that's a little disclaimer, I guess, so you can tell. Like, I respect Trevor Noah immensely, and it's kind of funny being in the stand-up comedy scene in South Africa when you've got someone like that, because he's almost like this mythological figure, you know? He's like, his name is said with such reverence, and people share all these stories and that, because I'm also pretty close to people who are close to Trevor. Like, some of Trevor's writing team and good friends and that are people who I'm good friends with. And so I hear a lot of different things. I hear a lot of stories, and I've gotten to get a picture of the guy that you wouldn't necessarily get from seeing online or on TV or even on stage, you know? And I've also been privy to some behind the scenes, backstage sort of conversations that I'm not too sure how much I can share with you guys, but I'll try and toe the line as best I can so as not to, like, yeah, like, reveal any magician secrets or anything like that, I guess. Or just, like, share stuff that isn't meant to be shared. Because, yeah, like, there is still decorum, I think, when it comes to the stuff. And, like, you know, if he wants to share how the sausage is made, I have put out a request for him to come on the podcast. But haven't got a response yet. So probably won't happen, but I figured I'd shoot my shot anyway because I would dig to talk to him. Because like I say, he's an incredibly fascinating character to me, and a very, like, to be on that level, to come from South Africa and to get to, you know, the highest highs basically in stand-up comedy worldwide. Like, Trevor Noah is an international comedian who sells lots of tickets everywhere. He connects with people all around the fucking world. And I think that must be quite a hectic life to actually live. And I think it could actually be restrictive creatively. And he has to, you know, like, people have to leave happy. And a lot of different kinds of people have to leave his show happy. Like, he's trying to connect to a much broader swathe of the population than someone like me or, you know, a lot of other comedians, basically. Like, a lot of the comedians I fuck with, I guess I can fuck with them because they're not trying to appeal to the broadest possible audience. Whereas Trevor's success is based on the fact that, yeah, he does say jokes that a lot of people can connect with. You know, a lot of his set on Sunday was based on load shedding and stuff like that, and all the different ways it affects us and little idiosyncrasies of it. And yeah, him coming back and just being like, oh shit, you guys just adapted to this shit, basically. But obviously someone in his position and at his stature has to probably pander more. Like, you just... It's interesting because, like, his Daily Show things where he would talk in between, you know, bits and stuff and, like, take questions from the audience, I found them to actually be really insightful and quite funny off the cuff. And just, I've enjoyed, like, that aspect of his output, I guess, a lot more than almost anything else. Like, as I say, like, with the stand-up comedy, not so much. The Daily Show hits and misses for me. Not, you know, necessarily my kind of vibe anyway. Like, I'm at a point in my life where I'm just gonna watch YouTubers doing video essays. Like, that's it. Fuck what's on TV. Like, I couldn't give a shit anymore. But I did find those little sections interesting, and I wish more of his comedy actually had, like, those off-the-cuff moments and off-the-cuff remarks. But he's so professional, and he's so, like, wired, and he's so, like, he knows what he's doing, you know, like, on stage and that. And it's all just so fucking put together. Like, it's really, it's impressive. Like, it genuinely is. And it's a reminder that it is all just a show, and that there is a whole other human being behind it. But Trevor Noah on stage versus Trevor Noah the person, I think, are probably fairly different. Not that, like, I know the guy well at all. Like I said, I met him for the second time. After the show this time, we got Robbie Collins, ex-guest of the podcast, and Ryan Hardooth, ex-guest of the podcast, who's actually the person who hooked me up with the tickets. So shout outs to Ryan. Appreciated. He's Trevor's touring manager when he's here. You should go back and listen to the episode with him if you want to know what that's like. So yeah, we were chilling, waiting. We were the last people to get photos. I was with Cyril Basker and Robbie's sister and Cyril's wife and that. And yeah, we were chilling. I was chilling with my girlfriend Jamie, and she was just getting annoyed because she doesn't give a fuck. And I love that about her, that she just, like, couldn't give a shit. Like I wanted to do it because Matt Hardy, like, tweeted a while ago, you know, just get the fucking photo. Like, don't be weird about things like that. Like, because when you look back on your life, like, you all want to have those things. And it is a thing that has stuck out with me, you know, like, when you have these opportunities, it is cool to take them. And so, yeah, we eventually get shuffled in backstage because it's kind of fucked up, but, like, it's obviously part of his contract with Savannah that he's got to do these photos with different guests and stuff, like, directly after the fucking show. Like, as he's finished doing, I think he did nearly, like, an hour and a half or so. Apparently the Saturday show wasn't as long because he wasn't really fucking with it as much. But the Sunday show, he did time. Seemed like he had a good time. It seemed like he was enjoying himself on stage. And immediately afterwards has to take photos with fans who, you know, just want that social media clout. Because that's it, man. Like, I knew, like, that was also part of it. Like, it was just like, yeah, let's go get the photo. You have the opportunity. Let's go get the photo. We can post it on social media. You know, everyone will be like, oh, Bob, blah, 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 blah. You know, like, I fully know the vibe. And yeah, we went backstage and yeah, hey, I'm Bob. It's like Trevor, because I mean, obviously, he's not gonna remember fucking 5, 6, not even 5. Jesus, like 7, 8 years ago, probably at this point, maybe even longer. Yeah, he's not gonna remember a random dude that was just backstage, like, you know, looking at him weirdly, like 7, 8 years ago. So yeah, I was like, hey, Bob, we all line up, we take the photo, and then I spend the rest of the time chatting to Ryan Hardooth, because I enjoy chatting to Ryan quite a bit, and don't get to chat to him as much. Like, whenever I really appreciate that, like, whenever I'm in Joburg or whatever, like, I can reach out to him and be like, yo, you want to grab a coffee, you want to grab lunch, and if he's got time, he'll make time in that. But yeah, we don't get to hang out as much as I would like, and he's someone who I whenever I get to pick his brain, or whenever I get to just chat to him, it's always, yeah, it's always a fucking pleasure. So yeah, we got to do that. He asked me what I thought about the show right next to Trevor there, so obviously said, yeah, it was good. And it was, like, it was a good show. Like, I laughed, I enjoyed myself, I had a fun time, like, genuinely. But I also left none the wiser, basically. Like, not about, you know, life in South Africa, not about Trevor's life, not about any big ideas, really. Which is cool, you know, not every comedy show needs to do that. Like, sometimes it's just about being funny and making sure everyone leaves going, oh, that was a good show, hey? And he did that job. He did that job really fucking well. And you kind of have to at that level, especially since a lot of those people at that show probably don't go to many comedy shows. It's probably the one show a year that they're going to go to. Like, until another, like, big name international, like Kevin Hart or someone comes over, you know? Like, those shows are basically on the same level as this Trevor show. Oddly enough, I actually walked out of the Kevin Hart show about 10 minutes into it, because I was just so fucking bored, especially after his openness. But that's a whole other fucking story. But yeah, I left the show on Sunday, basically just wondering if Trevor ever feels trapped by his success, or if it's everything he's ever wanted. Like, I'm assuming it's probably the latter, because he is an incredibly ambitious guy who kind of ruthlessly went after what he wanted, you know, and he's still, I think, doing that. I think he has an understanding of the comedian as job thing way better than I do. Like, I very much just look at comedian as artist, and that's why it's, you know, it brings in some income for me, but it's still not my job. And I know if I want to make it my job, I do need to find that balance. And it is a thing I've been working on for the last while, like, since the pandemic hasn't ended. But since lockdown ended, I guess we can say, you know, I have tried, like, I've even spoken about it with other comedians on this podcast, you know, found ways to make my material more relatable, to, like, feed people a bit more before coming in with these weird esoteric jokes and shit like that. And also just trying to find other things that I can connect with people on, you know, more common experiences and stuff like that. So watching Trevor, I just wondered how much of it was material that he actually really liked and believes in and wants to say and all of that, and how much of it is stuff that he thinks works, you know, and stuff that he knows will always get the response that he wants. Like, I guess my point is, I just don't see much risk-taking, if that makes sense. Like, I just didn't see him say or do anything that could make people go, I don't know about this Trevor guy, you know? Nothing that was too revealing, nothing that could get him cancelled or upset people or anything like that. Like, and I just, like, I've said it a few times already, I just want more out of comedy shows, basically. I do want, like, every comedy show, like, someone should probably be upset with you. Like, I know that's a weird way to think, but there should be someone in the crowd who disagrees with your whole fucking, you know, point of view. And goes, oh, you can't say that, regardless of wherever on the spectrum you are. And I know that's a whole messy thing. But I do find for myself, I enjoy comedians more when they take unpopular opinions or try and just take an unconventional route, essentially, or just try and, like, I do enjoy, like, how Bill Burr will start with an indefensible statement and then defend it, Like, it's a really fun way to do things, and it's like he's someone who's so good that you can trust him. And like, obviously, I'm sure some of you don't fuck with Bill Burr, and you don't fuck with a number of the comedians who I love dearly and who I like admire for their willingness to maybe lose some of the audience, you know. Like, for me personally, that's a pretty gutsy and brave and just respectable way to approach like art in general. But that's the thing, like, Trevor at this point is a product. Like, Trevor at this point is a brand. Trevor at this point needs to be dependable and reliable, and he's more like the image of, you know, Trevor Noah the comedian than actually Trevor Noah the comedian, I think. We're kind of trying to get back to the society of the spectacle stuff I was mentioning earlier, but it is interesting, especially like with the Savannah aspect. Like, they've been like promoting this thing for over a fucking year, and your Savannah just really, like, their branding was fucking everywhere. Like, they definitely made sure that you guys knew that this was a Savannah show. And I mean, I can't even imagine how much money Trevor's getting from this. And I don't know, like, how much money people are making off of all of this. I think it's quite a fuckload, because he's doing multiple shows all around the country. Durban, he only did two, but, like, in other places, he's doing, like, five, I think. Like, because tickets just kept selling out. And, you know, these are thousands upon thousands of people per night. So, when you've got, like, that sort of money on the line, it's also one of those things where it is, you can't really take bigger risks, I guess. But like I say, I don't fucking know where he's at with all of this. I would like to eventually chat to him about it. I'd love to chat to him about just the whole fucking journey and just his whole approach. Because he is also someone who, like, he does lots of different shows and he localizes the shows around the world. And especially in South Africa, I know when he gets back here, he teams up with a bunch of South African writers and they get together and they brainstorm for the show. Like, I also know he comes up with a lot of his own jokes and that. But yeah, guys will come up with premises and ideas and just let them know, like, what the temperature of the country is. And then he'll make that into a show. Or at least that's what he did this time. He turned it into this current show, which they're going to be filming in Joburg, I think, this weekend. And I'm fascinated to see what the final product is. I'm fascinated to see what the end results will be. Because even just chatting to Ryan after the show a bit. And once again, these are some things I think I can tell you. Like, I think none of this is, like, big secrets or anything. But yeah, that in Durban, he didn't necessarily do the full show because he was trying to pander to the crowd and he was trying to just, yeah, make sure he left everyone going, that was a good show. So I'm wondering if there's any material that's a little more edgy that he just didn't drop on the night, because yeah, he substituted some other stuff in, apparently. And I will say, that's one of the crazy things that I really, like, admire and respect about him, is the ability to do that, to, like, put on an hour, nearly 2 hour show, basically, with new material, basically. Like, you know, they've been working on it before the show and that, but, like, he's working it out as he's doing these massive shows, and will hopefully have it all, like, the way he wants it by the time they film. But that's in, like, a month. You know, he's basically put together an entire fucking, like, special in a month. I mean, that is impressive. And, like, how he can come on stage and just know all the material. Whereas I've got, like, my little 5 minutes and I can sometimes be stressed out about, like, getting the wording right and getting everything professionally, like, on point. Like, I'll practice my shit at home just to make sure that, like, cool, this is the way the bit goes. Even if I've done a bit, like, a million fucking times on stage, like, I've started doing it again. It's something I used to do back in the day. It was basically practice in the mirror, but now I just practice in the lounge. I've got a mic stand, I've got a mic, and I even record it. And yeah, like, I make sure, and I'm sure he does too. I'm sure he obviously practices his stuff beforehand, but it is impressive, man. Like, that's, most people take years to develop shows, you know, like, just testing material out in the clubs, going yes, no, like, you know, figuring it out. But yeah, this is very different to that. So that's it, I guess. I mean, sorry, not too much, like, analysis through the lens of Guy Debord there, but I'm also not that fucking smart. So I can like read these things and go, that's interesting. But trying to actually apply it to real life, trying to apply it to things like this, I'm still a bit of a rookie, I guess. But it is fascinating, just the whole thing. Like, I guess one of the things I wanted to talk about, because like saying, like, getting the selfie, posting it on social media, like, it is funny how, like, that is its own currency. Like, I even posted that in my stories. Like, getting a photo with Trevor in South African comedy, you know, that's its own currency. It's like, you're one of the chosen few to be given, granted that opportunity. And I guess it does create a desire or a want or a need in other people to like go like, fuck, why is Bob there? I should be there or whatever. I don't know. Like, that stuff is always fascinating about social media with me. And like, I try my best at the moment, like, to take the game is the game approach to social media, which is essentially like to decouple my ego from it as much as possible and to be distant from it in terms of just understanding that, hey, I'm posting these things for this reason. Like, I'm not posting it for validation. I'm not posting it for my own ego or anything like that. I'm posting it because I understand how it will be viewed publicly, which might be a psychotic way to live, but at the moment, I think it's probably the smartest way to live. Like, you got to be aware of this shit, man. You got to be aware of, like, just how much all of this stuff influences us and how many of our desires aren't really our own, and how many, like, how the lives that we lead and want to lead sometimes are, you know, influenced, like, we're influenced into certain aspects. And I'm just trying my best to not take the game seriously, to just go, we're all just doing this thing where we're all just, you know, trying to promote ourselves. We're all just trying to create a brand, essentially. Like, as much as I fucking hate that, as much as, like, I want to live an authentic life and all of this, I think it's almost impossible at this stage of capitalism. Late stage, as it's been termed by some people. But even just the idea of authenticity is its own branding exercise, I guess, like, in a postmodern society. Maybe it existed, you know, hundreds of years ago, but probably hasn't in quite some time. It's just the idea of authenticity. It's just the image of authenticity. And with that, I think we're going to start heading out. Before I do the shoutouts, I need to let you know we're going to be doing the 5th birthday party in collaboration with relatives on the 29th of September. So it'll be cool to see you there. And other than that, probably going to be doing a Q&A episode next week. So look out on the social media for me asking you for questions. And with that, it's time to head to the shoutouts. So, shout outs to Rousseau, the storage clerk of subtle heresies in the Lesser Oberg region. Russell Grant, the Far East correspondent. Neil Green, the key grip. Karan Slemon, the almost perfect hedge fund manager. Riz Ventura, the director of purchasing. Karan Chetty, the assistant to the regional manager. Kath Jenkin, the noble ruler of the universe and Queen Swifty. And Stephen Olivier, who is the executive producer. Now, if you want to have your name shouted out at the end of the podcast, just go to patreon.com/almostperfect and you can subscribe to the titular titles tier. You probably know about that already. And other than that, a big thank you to Damien Root for the bed music you hear underneath me and the banging intro you hear at the start of every episode. Lastly, thank you for listening all the way through to the end of the podcast, and I will catch you on the flip side.